All right, so we're going through the Bible here and dealing with right division and dealing with the Bible and what God says to individuals. And we are working our way towards Christ's death on the cross. We have come through the Old Testament, through Malachi, and we have dealt with God and looked at how God had dealt with his people and how God had given Israel the law, and God had dealt with them on certain things and demanded obedience from them for the remission of sins. And hopefully, I don't need to go over these terms all of the time with you. Hopefully, you've been kind of picking things up and you've been kind of learning as we go. But now we are at the time where, at the beginning of the New Testament, where Christ is in his ministry, starting with John the Baptist, and then Christ and his ministry. And this transition from God dealing in the Old Testament law with his people, and then Jesus Christ showing up and God manifesting Christ as their Messiah and as their King, and what is happening at this point. And so Matthew and Acts and Hebrews, all of these books are what we call transitional books. And they're transitional because something is happening that is not quite the same as what came before it and is not quite the same as what comes after it. Now, we use Matthew because it's the first book of the New Testament, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all books of the gospel. And by the time we get to the book of Acts, we find out that the Gospels have been completed. Now Christ has died, buried, rose again from the dead. And now the disciples are trying to figure out, and the apostles are figuring out, okay, now what is the Lord doing and moving us and leading us and guiding us after the death of Christ? So the Old Testament, there's the law, and we talked about that in many years, and there's 400 years of silence before John the Baptist shows up and starts preaching. And then Jesus Christ shows up, and he has his earthly ministry, and then Christ dies on the cross, and then, okay, things are different now, and Paul comes along, and he concretes things to what we know as our time period. All right, so we're looking at this time period here of Christ is what we're looking at. And what is happening? And Christ is prophesied to be king. And when Jesus Christ comes, he is offering the kingdom to the nation of Israel is what he's doing. All right, so he's offering the kingdom. He is offering a physical kingdom with him as ruler and king to the nation of Israel. So he offers this kingdom. He offers all of these Old Testament promises of their coming a king, and the government's going to be on his shoulders, and he's going to rule, and he's going to reign with a rod of iron. All these Old Testament promises, he comes and he offers all of these things to the nation of Israel, but he offers them as a caveat. See, Christ comes, and Christ is indeed king. He's not ruling as king currently on this earth over the kingdom that he will have, but he is a king.
Amen.
The wise men come and say, "Where is the king of the Jews?" They know who he is. But what Israel gets caught up in is that he's also a priest.
Yeah.
And Israel is looking for a worldly leader, not a spiritual leader. And so when he comes, and we'll look at this, when he comes presenting an earthly kingdom with access through spiritual repentance, they say, "Wait a minute, we want a king to get Rome off our back. We don't need any more priests." And so he comes offering the kingdom of heaven, a physical kingdom, through the kingdom of God. And they don't want to deal with that. They're just looking for that prophet to show up and take care of them as a nation. They're not looking for a priest to show up, But the Bible says that a priest was going to come. And so let's look in Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. All right, so close to the end of the Old Testament. There's Zephaniah, that's the short one. Zechariah is the long one. Zechariah 6 in verse 12. Zechariah 6 in verse 12. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." That's the Branch is Christ. And he tells them as much. He tells them that he is the root and ye are the branches, but he is the Branch. All right, so, "And he shall build the temple of the Lord," it says in verse 12. "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crowns shall be to Helam and to Tobijah and to Jediah and to Hen, the son of Jephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God." Zechariah says the Branch is going to come and he's going to do what? Build a military. Nope. He's going to build a large kingdom of land. Nope. He's going to come up and he's going to establish the Jews as the world power again. He says the Branch is going to come and he's going to build the temple. He's going to come and as a priest, he is going to sit upon his throne. Look in chapter 8, same book. Chapter 8, look in verse 16. "These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go forth with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Amen. This is spiritual. These are spiritual blessings. These come by obedience to a righteous law, and this is how Jesus Christ comes. Look in Haggai. All right, now you're on your own for that one. All right, it's left. Okay. Did I tell you where to go? Haggai 1. All right, Haggai 1, verse number 5. "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house." He's saying, hey, my house, the Lord's house, is in waste, and you're trying to do all these things to profit yourself, but it doesn't profit. You're doing all these things to make money. You bring the money home, you put it in a bag, and the bag has holes in it, and you look in the bag, and there's no money left. And you bring the profits home, and I blow on it and disperse it. And why is that happening? Because my house is ruined, and you're building your own house. And so what happens? Jesus Christ comes, and he offers a physical kingdom, but it follows spiritual repentance. All right, go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse number 1. Matthew 3, starting in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, amen, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, we don't want to be confused here with what's preaching. All right, we're taking the Bible at face value here, and we're reading it for what it is. And here's a Jewish nation. God has not spoken to them in 400 years. It's been silent. And John the Baptist comes, and he starts preaching, and he looks like, well, they knew he was one of the prophets. Because the prophets showed up in the Old Testament, and they were gruff, and they were rough, and they spoke harshly. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, hey, those with the fancy clothes, they're in king's houses. What'd you come out to see when you came out to see John the Baptist? Some fancy preacher? No, you came out and saw John the Baptist, and none was greater born a woman than John the Baptist. And that's what Jesus Christ says about him. So John the Baptist comes out, and he starts preaching, and he says, repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is close by us. It is available to you. And what is he doing? He's saying, repent and be baptized. That's what he's saying. Baptism is connected with Old Testament purification. Of what? Of our sins. It's an Old Testament purification of the picture of getting rid of our sins. All right, people in the Old Testament, they understood, the priests understood when they offered the sacrifice and when they washed their hands and their feet to go into the temple, they understood that that washing was not getting rid of sins when they put their hands under running water. All right, they understood that. What happens is, I was almost not nice. I almost used a not nice, I almost said knuckleheads. That's not nice, all right? When individuals start to say that getting wet is what gets rid of our sins, because they get a couple verses in the Bible messed up, the Old Testament Jews, they didn't think that. Guess what happened? They came through the Red Sea and came out on the other side, and God gave them victory and freedom from Egypt, and they didn't even get wet. They walked across on dry ground. And so John the Baptist comes and says, hey, repent. Why? Because the kingdom is coming soon. And so repent and be ready to accept this kingdom. And he preaches this, and look in chapter 4, and he gets right on the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why? Because they were the religious crowd that was sitting back like this, because they didn't think they needed to repent of anything. And they saw John, and they saw everyone following John, and his preaching, talking about the kingdom coming, and they were repenting and being baptized. And in Luke, they come to him, and the publicans come, and they say, what do we need to do? Because he says, hey, bring fruit, meat for repentance. Bring me some proof that you are repenting. Bring me some proof that you you mean business. And so the publicans come and they say, what should we do? And he says, hey, don't overcharge in it. They're the tax collectors. Be honest with everybody. And the soldiers come and they say, well, what should we do for repentance? And he says, hey, stop using your authority to push people around and be content with your wages. Right? Why? Because the military, they would get themselves together, and then there's power in numbers, and they'd push their way around and abuse their power, and they were always complaining about the money they were making. And he said, hey, be happy with your wages and stop abusing your power. Oh, and so there's the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're sitting over off to the side, the religious crowd, and they're looking at this baptism of John, which they always had a problem with, because Jesus Christ comes to him and says, hey, baptism of John, was that of God or of men? And just like the weasels they were, they say, well, if we say it was of God, then Jesus Christ is going to say, why didn't you get baptized by John? But if we say that it wasn't of God, the people think it was of God, so then they're going to hate us. Well, we don't really know. And he says, I don't know either. I'm not answering your question. You can't answer that question? I'm not answering your questions. And so then they're sitting off to the side, and they're watching this baptism of John. He says, hey, he says, you generation of vipers. John starts calling him out. He says, verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, because that's what they were going to say, we have Abraham to our father. Well, we're Jews. We have Abraham as our father. And he says, God could raise up people from these stones right here. He was saying, Your heritage isn't as important as you think it is. You know what the problem is? Your heart. You're supposed to repent of those things. So here comes Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 4, in verse 17. The Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, he just stole John the Baptist's message. Jesus Christ comes up, the greatest preacher that ever lived, and he comes up, and you know what he says? He preached the same message John the Baptist had. Why? Because Jesus Christ is saying, hey, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is here, and it's available to you. Look in verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. What's Jesus Christ preaching? He's preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what's Matthew call it in chapter, what we just read? It's called the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. Look in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Now, the book of Matthew lays this out pretty clear, all right, about the kingdom of heaven. And if you follow Matthew, and to read Matthew, it says kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven over and over and over again. And we can see this laid out very clearly, this offering of a physical kingdom. Now, there is a difference between the physical kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. We've done that Bible study a long time ago. All right, but there is a definite difference, and it's important that we know it from the scriptures. But why it gets confused in the scriptures is verses like this, Mark chapter 1. Look in verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, again, these are verses where if we're not careful, we say, oh, the gospel, I know what that is. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is a gospel. That is the gospel which you are saved by. But Jesus Christ here says, and believe the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. That's what he's preaching. And he's saying here, he's saying that the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because Jesus Christ is offering both kingdoms to the Jews. He's offering both. He's offering them the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom. Amen. Right? It's not of meat and drink. It's what's inside. It's a spiritual, it's a repentance, and walking with God is the kingdom of God. He's offering, you need to repent and follow after God, because the kingdom of heaven is also here and available to you. But you can't have this kingdom of heaven without first obtaining the kingdom of God. And Christ is preaching both kingdoms at the same time. That's what he's doing. His plea is through the kingdom of God. This is not the gospel of salvation of the soul. It is the gospel of a Jewish nation and their kingdom. All right? And that's important, because there is such a emphasis on Paul's gospel, because that's the only way that you and I can get to heaven. There should be an emphasis on Paul's gospel.
Amen.
But when we study the Bible, if you cram Paul's gospel into this passage, you create a train wreck. Why? Because Paul's gospel is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. Here's Christ who hasn't died for our sins. He hasn't been buried. He hasn't rose again from the dead. And how could he offer something that is not there? He's not offering something that's not there. He's offering the gospel of the kingdom to the Jewish nation. Say, how do you know? Well, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 4, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus Christ here on the Sermon on the Mount stands up in Matthew chapter number 5, and he starts to preach to a Jewish audience, and he starts to preach this message. And we're not reading it all, but, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, that kingdom of heaven, it's connected to an inheritance on the earth that was given to Abraham. And not to all of Abraham's seed, but to Isaac. And not to all of Isaac's seed, but unto Jacob and to his boys. Right? So God gave this promise down from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and the 12 tribes, and that blessing was connected with what? Land. It was connected with a physical place. Now, when we get saved, is there anywhere that Paul says you and I are connected to the promises through Christ of physical land on this earth? I'll help you. Some of you are like, it's a trick question. I might do that to you, but it's not a trick question. You and I, we don't have any inheritance of land. We are New Jerusalem. He is going to prepare a place for us. If you're going to stretch it, our inheritance is New Jerusalem, and our inheritance is tied in with our works that we do in Christ. That's what we earn as an inheritance, what we do in Christ in this life. We don't have any promise of land. Oh, that's nonsense. But Israel does. And what is he preaching? He's preaching the kingdom of heaven, which is tied into the meek that inherit the earth. And you go on down through here, and what do you see? You see this message. He's preaching about the kingdom of heaven, and it is a message of the gospel of the kingdom, and it's moral righteousness is what he's preaching, right? He's standing there preaching, do these things, repent, and live according to these things. And Matthew chapter 5, and Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. And he goes through and he preaches this moral kingdom obtained by moral righteousness of the individual and ultimately of the nation. And you and I can read these chapters and we can glean things from these chapters. But our righteousness is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our righteousness is not based on us being meek so that we can inherit the earth.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. We're not going to inherit the earth. We are going to rule and reign with him, but God is not bringing back a kingdom so that you and I can have a piece of dirt on this earth. No, our home is New Jerusalem, where we are going to be with Christ. And I'll take that over a piece of dirt. So Jesus Christ is doing what? He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's preaching a moral gospel of the kingdom. And look what he says right in the middle of it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Right in the middle of his message, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's he, right in the middle of it, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. As I'm preaching about this physical kingdom and the righteousness that's going to be there, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and with that, it's going to lead you into the gospel. And that's what he does. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. And he goes through and he names them. Let's skip to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of who? The house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He tells his disciples, go and preach the kingdom of heaven. That's the gospel that you go preach. And who are you supposed to preach it to? Not to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Gentiles. What about the Samaritans? The Samaritans were half Gentile, half Jew. Don't go to them either. Go to the lost house of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and preach the kingdom of heaven. And you know what he said? You're going to go with signs and wonders. Why? Because the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:22. The Jews require a sign. The nation started with a sign. It continues with a sign. He sends out his apostles to preach the kingdom of heaven with signs, and he begins the transition into an individual gospel of salvation, but he gives signs to his disciples to tell the Jews, hey, you crucified him, but you need to believe in Christ because you're the ones that crucified him. And they have signs and wonders. To who? To the Jews. To the Jews. And so here's this preaching of the gospel of the kingdom with signs and wonders given to his 12 disciples. And who's he preaching to? The Jews. The Jews. Well, he's offering them a kingdom. He's offering them the kingdom that he promised to them in the Old Testament. Because the gospel of salvation, what we would call Paul's gospel, all right, that is not a national gospel. That's an individual gospel. To who? Everyone. To the world. It's to everyone. And so that is not this gospel. It is a different gospel. And so look in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. Starting in verse 20. His understanding, the disciples' understanding of their job and their preaching and the kingdom that was to come. Matthew 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask of. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, Christ was going to be baptized with the baptism of suffering. And trust me, those disciples went through it. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Jesus Christ certainly did not deny that he was going to have a kingdom. He said, I'm going to have a kingdom. But the right hand and left hand to sit at my kingdom, that's the Father has already decided who that's going to be. And you don't even know what you're asking. That's already given. Now, Peter, James, and John, they get to figure out who that is if they put two and two together. Because they go up on the Mount of Transfiguration and they see Jesus Christ magnified with Moses and Elijah. Yeah. And there they are, the three of them. And so if there is any question after that, they just weren't thinking. Because God revealed it to them. But here they are, and the disciples are sitting around saying, We know you're going to have a kingdom, Lord. We're ready for this kingdom. Acts 1. All right, you're ascended, Lord, now. And man, you've been with us here for 40 days, and you've been teaching us this stuff and showing us things out of the scripture, how you need to be to die and raise again from the dead. And so now your kingdom's coming, right? And he says, Whoa, no, hold on. Hold on, not time now. You just hold on. They're still thinking, now's the time you're going to just bring everything back to you. So the disciples were certainly expecting a kingdom. But the problem is, as we'll look at next time, next week, I believe, in the book of Matthew, we see the rejection of the kingdom. We see Christ in his preaching offering the kingdom, rejection, acceptance of individuals. And Christ kind of, they say, Oh, we're here. We want to make you king. And Jesus Christ brushes them off. Why? Because the Bible says he knows what's inside of man. They said, Boy, when you're around, we got lots of grape juice and all the bread we want. We like you. And Jesus Christ says, Well, yeah, but I know what's in man. And so he brushes them off. And what? He doesn't make himself king. He comes in a triumphal entry, and people are there and saying, Hosanna! He's the king of the Jews. There's a portion that are accepting him as king, and yet Christ knows, man, these that are accepting me as king right now, they're always looking over their shoulder at the religious leaders. And the religious leaders are saying, Hey, why don't you make your disciples be quiet? They're calling you king of the Jews. That means you must be the Messiah. Why don't you make your disciples be quiet? And he says, if these were quiet, the stones would cry out. God would cry out and say, God would make the stones cry out and say, He is the Messiah, He is the King. Yeah. And it's a few days later when the Jews are looking over their shoulders at the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're saying, We need to get rid of this guy. He's been nothing but problems. Remember how good we had it before him? Now everything's in an uproar. Crucify him, right? And so the rejection, and Jesus Christ sees what's coming. He knows what's coming. He's offering the kingdom, but as he's dealing with men and he's dealing with mankind, he sees their hearts and he sees their rejection and he weeps over them and he says, Oh, that I could just draw you under my wings as a hen doth its chicks. If I could just draw you in. If you would just accept me over and over and over again. And we haven't gone over this, but you're probably aware that the Gospels were written individually for different purposes. And Matthew, it is written so that you would see Jesus Christ as King of the Jews. That's why Matthew is so heavy on this kingdom of heaven, because it's presenting Christ as a king over a physical kingdom that he will reign over. And by the time you get to the book of John, you don't get any of that same feel whatsoever. You don't get any of this feel of this king and this ruler and this leader. You know what you get? You get the Son of God, 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 the deity. And you see in John, Jesus Christ pleading with the Jews over and over and over again and saying, you haven't received me because you haven't received the Father. And if you would have received the Father, you would have received me. And his presentation to him as the Son of God, his presentation as the deity of Christ, and you can see Christ dealing with them in that manner. Why? Because that's John's emphasis. John's emphasis as he looks at the life, as Matthew and Mark and Luke and John write these little biographies about the ministry of Christ. God gives them a different slant to draw out different things of his ministry and all the pieces that were moving. And so we'll look at the rejection of Christ, and we'll look at how he offered himself, and in the book of Matthew, how he preaches plainly, and then we see him withdraw and start to preach in parables. And his disciples say, why are you preaching in parables? And he tells them why. He says, because they're rejecting me. And so now I'm coming to them in parable form where if they're not accepting what I say, they're going to be confused and they're not going to understand. God does that now with his word. If someone's lost and they're a scoffer, they go into the Bible and they get nothing out of it, and all they see is just errors and contradictions all over the place, and they don't glean anything and they don't gain anything. And when you're saved, and he says his words are spirit and they are life. And so through the Holy Spirit of God, we go into the Word of God and we say, that's not a contradiction at all. We can see here and we can see over here and we can see how God put this thing together. And we can see how God leads and guides and directs through the Scripture. But those that are scoffers and reject Christ, he gives them all the rope they need to hang themselves.
Amen.
Right in the Scriptures. He gives them all that they want to reject Christ, and they can go to heaven saying, yeah, well... And then they'll bow a knee before God someday, before Christ. And that's how God's worked. And he does it, and we'll look at that in the book of Matthew and lead up to Christ and what happens at those times. So, all right, let's go ahead and pray this evening. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the power of it. Thank you for the goodness that you have given to us through your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I pray that these lessons, Lord, would help us to understand and help those that come on Sunday nights to understand the Scriptures and to be able to put things in their rightful place. And Lord, don't allow anybody with false doctrine to come in and steal the seed of the Word of God that's placed in their hearts, Lord. And I pray that we would grow in you, and we would put our faith in your Word and what you said, and let us be thankful for it in Jesus' name.